Welcome to the Reader's Roundtable Podcast with Jessica Trotter, Mari Garza, and Cheryl Lindemann.
Welcome back to the Reader's Roundtable Podcast. I am Jessica Trotter, and I am joined at the mic by Cheryl Lindemann and Mari Garza. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
We're coming at you from each individual house and trying to make this work. So how are y'all doing?
Wow. Yeah. We're hanging in there. Definitely rolling with the changes, rolling with work from home and technology and everything that this entails. Yeah. How about you, Mari?
It has been rough. I'll tell you that. But definitely some really great moments of inner sunshine. I'm very, very happy to report. But yeah, this is pretty different and intense.
Yes, it has been.
Absolutely. So
we've talked a lot this year in a previous podcast about kind of how we go about our reading. How are we, or if we're reading, how are we coping in this sense?
Yeah, I've been thinking about that and talking to people about their reading. I know that my reading has been affected a bit. I've slowed down the number of books that I usually read. This is Cheryl, by the way. And however, I am really enjoying reading when I hook in and click into the book. It's been really rewarding. And it's taken me a couple times to find the right book, but when I settle into it, it's been wonderful. Provides all the benefits that reading usually provides.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm reading a lot of like shorter type things, like I don't know, devotional entries, if you could put them that way, a little bits of poetry. And then historical fiction, which really just takes me away to a whole different time period. And thankfully, none of that has pandemics in it or anything like that. But
choosing carefully.
I'm really liking history. I also just started watching a PBS World War II drama that I'm really enjoying. So definitely the reading is helping. But I agree with Cheryl. It's not been... It's just different. It's just not as robust, maybe, as it's been in previous months.
Mari, is that program World on Fire? Is that the one?
That's the one, yes.
Great, for good things about it.
Yeah, I almost wish it were longer than 1 hour. I'm like, please, give me some more.
Yeah, that's great. Okay. How about you, Jessica?
I found myself caught by different things. Looking for light or things that I know have a happy ending. And some of that means just rereading favorites. Mm-hmm. I usually read at a really good clip, and I'm definitely slowed down. Mm-hmm. I've read a few romances, that things that have a lot of comedy, less angst.
Yeah.
I found myself one day, and I'm kind of losing track of days, but one day, I think this weekend, where I ended up kind of watching design shows because that's what I could handle, and the creativity of it attracted me. So,
very cool.
Like redoing old houses, modernizing old houses.
Oh, that sounds cool.
The style. It's different times I can handle different things.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're all coming together from our separate homes, and we're talking a bit about April and National Library Week, National Poetry Month. Earth Day mm-hmm. falls in April, and we talked before the podcast about pulling together a bit about National Poetry Month, as it is April, and I wanted to give a little history about National Poetry Month. It began in 1996 by the Academy of American Poets. It's the largest literacy celebration in the world. And even though this is a very challenging time to celebrate it, the Academy of American Poets does have a lot of great resources on their website about still celebrating Poetry Month. They have a list of 30 ways to celebrate. And number 6 is actually check out an ebook from the library, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yes.
They're also encouraging anybody, Absolutely. Anybody who loves poetry, if there's a particular poem that really touches somebody, that features courage, solace, actionable energy, to post that poem or post the name of the poem with the hashtag Shelter In Poems. And they're calling it the Shelter In Poetry Project right now. So that's really cool too. Yeah, and you can go to the website and you can see people's submissions from all over the world. It's really very cool. So the engagement is there, albeit in a different format.
Right.
Before this podcast, I was really excited about this podcast coming up. So I had a huge stack of poetry that is in my office still. That is not at my house right now.
At work, yes.
How convenient. Not.
I can see it. Yeah. So what I did is I had to move all digital for today. And that was actually a blessing, because I didn't realize, I hadn't checked in as much with the digital collection on poetry as I should have. We have great offerings in Hoopla and Libby Overdrive. I was really pleased. I don't know if I think both of you have found that a bit too as well.
Yes, definitely.
I have, yeah.
And it was kind of a great opportunity to realize how much is right there available. And so I spent some time kind of like how you were mentioning, little bits of reading. I didn't read every poem out of every collection, but I dug into some poems by Nikki Giovanni, Su Huang, Naomi Shihab Nye, Dorian Lux, Dan Gerber, Ted Kooser. That is just scratching the surface. I mean, there is a lot right there. Some of it available right away. I mean, I just was able to download it right away.
Right.
Just excellent. Excellent selection. And the one poetry book that I probably spent the most time with was a March 10th release. And so I wasn't able to get a print copy, obviously, right now. It's N. Scott Mamaday's The Death of Sitting Bear. And Mamaday is a Kiowa Native American poet. He's won the Pulitzer Prize for poetry. And I pulled up a really great quote from him. It's anything is bearable if you can make a story out of it.
Wow. Neat.
Yeah, isn't that cool? And his poetry is extremely wise, touches on nature, you know, life, mortality, spans the spectrum of topics. It's really beautiful. It's deep. It's soothing. It was a great read. And then I've mentioned her before because she's probably one of my favorite poets, but I won't gush.
Oh, it's fine. I just assumed.
I won't gush about The Carrying, what her most recent book of poetry this time, but Ada Limon's poetry, three of her books are on Hoopla, which is wonderful. And I spent some time with one of her collections that I didn't have access to before, which is Sharks in the Rivers, an earlier book. I also read more of Bright Dead Things, which has one of my favorite of her poems in it about horses and women. And we just found out that Ada Limon won a Guggenheim Fellowship for Poetry for 2020. So that's really exciting as well. So this digital reading really yielded a lot of great fruit, and it was a great opportunity to dig into those collections and know that I can recommend our digital collections to our patrons for poetry. And I just scratched the surface. So
right.
There's so much more there. How about you, Madi? What have you been reading or recommending for poetry?
Well, I've been reading really a lot of what maybe some people consider picture books, but they are the ones I'm going to talk about are certainly poetic verse type books. I mean, just this morning I was spending some time again with If I Was the Sunshine, and this is by Julie Fogliano, and it is illustrated by the incredible Lauren Long. But like I said, it's essentially a picture book, but it just, at least for me, is just aligning itself to be like a really just beautiful like spread of paintings, but with the thoughts, you know, of thinking about just the nature images that are out there. There's one that was really striking for me. And what she does is kind of like give you part of the verse on one page and then you turn the page and it sort of ends. So It was like a woodpecker, and if you were a bird and I was a tree, you'd call me home, and then you'd turn the page, and I'd call you free. And it's just, for me, just really like helping me to think about just the inside things that are both bringing me joy, but certainly bringing me anxiety too. I just really love looking at these sorts of images with the poetry there. And it's very short stuff. She's got one with a bear. I mean, when talking about spring, if you were the winter and I was the spring, I'd call you whisper. And then you turn the page, you'd call me sing. It's just really, really beautiful. And I've talked about Julie Fogliano before, so I won't spend too much time on her, but she was also the author of A House That Once Was and When's My Birthday, which I loved. And then there's another poetry book that is also in our collection digitally and in print. It's called When Green Becomes Tomatoes, Poems for All Seasons. And I actually have not fully reviewed that one yet, but I'm looking forward to getting a better look at that.
Maddie, this is Cheryl again. I loved that one.
The tomatoes one?
Yes.
Okay.
Wonderful. And Mia did too.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. I like that it covers just, again, those nature scenes.
One of the things that I was kind of finding interesting, I don't generally spend a whole lot of time on the picture books, but so many poems that I really love have been turned into picture books recently.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So like my tastes are all over the place, but there's a Neil Gaiman poem called Instructions that a few years ago was turned into, or actually more than a few years ago now, was done as a picture book by Charles Vess. And it's just, it plays with mythology and folklore and anything that the magic that attracts kids and adults, I would say. It's one of those things that sort of starts with, you know, like touch the wooden gate in the wall you never saw before. Say please before you open the latch and go through and walk down the path. And it's all these sorts of playing with these images that you get out of fantasy stories, portal mm-hmm. stories that I loved as a kid. So, but it's just kind of one example. And it's, I was, again, you know, we were looking around on Hoopla and Libyan Overdrive to find things. And that one, I've came across it first as a poem in a book of short stories and poetry. And that actual book isn't available anywhere, but it's in his book, Fragile Things, and it's been released on Hoopla. You can hear him read it, which is absolutely wonderful. Mm. But the another one that I found was Out of Wonder. Celebrating Poets.
I love that one too.
I had never actually looked at the Dreamscape videos. We talked about this a little bit.
Yes. Yes. And I have a funny story about that. But go ahead.
Well, in the case of, you might want to tell your funny story because Out of Wonder has a kind of a twist on that.
Okay. I'll talk about my other books soon, but I had checked out like both the print book of, I think it's Be Breathe.
And then also the
Dreamscape video one. And I was mm-hmm. watching the video, which I really liked, and it had really nice music, but they had removed the words from the page and I couldn't see them at all. And I was just really sad about that. Mm-hmm. But then after talking to Jessica, as we were preparing for this podcast, I realized that on my iPad, I could turn the subtitles on. So it's not exactly like seeing the printed words on the original, in the original book, but they add the words that the narrator is saying. So
I wasn't sure how, I didn't actually go and look at Breathe and Be. But with Out of Wonder, the artwork is by Akua Holmes, and it's just so, so beautiful that the way they illustrated it is neat enough that I was okay with losing the embedded text. However, in this particular case, there's actually two versions on Hoopla. There's one version and then a read-along version. So there's two separate movies.
Oh, yes. Yes, I noticed that.
Which there wasn't, I think, for Breathe and Be.
Yeah.
So that was interesting because it's a different effect than actually turning on the subtitles.
Okay.
It's literally a read-along, as in it lights up the words as it goes along.
Okay.
Wow. So that's one. I'm going to keep going on Out of Wonder because it's just, I really, really love that book. I can honestly say it's a book that I picked up because Kwame Alexander's name was large on it, but because the cover was beautiful. I mean, I really picked it up for the cover, which is, it's a full graphic. It's a dervish style dancer. And it goes actually with a poem called Spin a Song Celebrating Rumi by Marjorie Wentworth. And it just spoke to my heart. There's a line in it that says, dance until your feet lift off the ground like wings.
Nice.
Kwame Alexander, Chris Calderley, and Marjorie Wentworth all paying homage to the poets that have influenced them. So it's like 20 different poets that they're sometimes imitating the style of, sometimes just celebrating, but it includes Robert Frost and Langston Hughes and Billy Collins and Walter Dean Myers, Rumi. It just, the list kind of goes on. I'd highly suggest that one. And the video actually was quite neat. I thought the artwork just lends itself so well. What else have you got, Monty?
Wow.
I interrupted.
No. I was looking at my first book of haiku poems, A Picture, A Poem, and a Dream. It's basically a collection of classic poems by Japanese haiku masters. And this is a book that is, first of all, haiku, in case some don't know, which sometimes I need to be reminded about a lot of things. It's a Japanese type of a poem that has 17 syllables. So in three lines of five and then seven and then five. And it usually they, you know, kind of inspire images from the natural world. And this book was translated by Esperanza Ramirez Christensen and then illustrated by Tracy Gallup. And incidentally, these are two, one's an academic and one's an artist. They're from the Ann Arbor area, or I think that's where they live. Ramirez Christensen is a retired professor from the University of Michigan, focusing on Japanese literature. And Tracy Gallup does a lot of other types of art. And apparently they lived next to each other, and they came up with this idea to create this book. But it introduces children to poems that, again, speak of just the natural world, how to be able to see the whole, just everything that's out there, even at its like smallest little bit, you know, and seeing yourself in there too. So there's 20 poems, and I have to say I was not familiar with these poets, but definitely classics, Matsuo Basho and Masakoa Shiki. Basho. Those are just some of the masters that are covered there. And what I really like about it is that it's bilingual, so that there's the English, and then there's the Japanese. And then it's also transliterated, so you can sort of, you know, get something of the pronunciation. And has added, Dr. Ramirez Christensen has added some sort of, I guess you could say like a, I don't know, an additional paragraph on each spread, just trying to help people to think more deeply about the subject that's covered in the poem. And I will say that it was the winner of the 2019 Skipping Stones Honor Awards, and that would be from, they're associated with Skipping Stones, a multicultural literary magazine. And it was also chosen as an NCTE Notable Poetry Book and Verse Novel. So if you want to visit or learn more about Skipping Stones, they're at skippingstones.org. You can see lots of other award-winning books there.
Madi, can I ask, is this something that is on digital or is this a print book that you have? Or obviously,
probably so both, it's but... in, right now it's in print, but I did add it to our Overdrive cart for this week. So it should be available probably tomorrow or Saturday for checkout.
Sounds beautiful.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous book. Really beautiful. Well, if you don't mind, I'm going to throw out the whole, I mean, we talked about Hoopla earlier, the Poetry for Kids series.
Yes.
So the ones I could find were on Robert Frost, Emily Dickinson, Walt Whitman, and Carl Sandburg. And oh my goodness, these are such beautiful books. And they're in Hoopla, available all the time. And it's a book that you just, you download and you read together. And I love that the illustrations are in there. I remember, I think when I was in 10th grade, possibly is when was the first time maybe that I really started seriously reading Robert Frost. And that's like my earliest memory of really trying to learn poetry and, develop some appreciation for it. I still have a long way to go, but, these are just beautiful books. And, I want to say that the one I spent time with this morning, it's called A Prayer in Spring. The line, as the uncertain harvest keep us here. That was from page 20. And then I'm also hoping that you'll download this book because you absolutely have to see the image that goes with To the Thawing Wind. And that's on page 19. I have not looked at the Emily Dickinson, Walt Whitman, or Carl Sandburg, but I do want to look at the Carl Sandburg one because I'm not sure that I'm that familiar with any of his poetry. But Hoopla has so much content.
Yeah, it does.
And I hate to say that you're not always going to find it if you go in directly through our catalog, but if you go right into Hoopla and you start looking around, you will find all sorts of things. I found a book of children's poetry in Chinese this morning. Yeah. I had no idea we have so much Chinese content, both in audio and I think in ebook format. So I was just really, really pleased when I was looking around in Hoopla. They have done an outstanding job of curating a collection for library users.
It's one of the twists with Hoopla, what we're doing is they open up a catalog and we pay per checkout for the most part. There's special things happen in times of pandemics, evidently, but
I guess
the way this works with Hoopla. So they have a much bigger catalog than we can just dump into
the catalog.
So it is one of those cases where there's even in some cases, but not to the same degree, but it happens in Overdrive as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because we get access to other people's materials, other library systems share materials in Overdrive. But with Hoopla in particular, that's a huge collection. So it's always worth going out to the actual Hoopla catalog and site to look for things.
It really is. And they do a great job with linking to similar authors.
That's true, yes.
It's a really fun treasure hunt, but I agree that starting from the catalog isn't so great. If you start right in Hoopla, then look at something, look down for subject headings, there's searchable links, and then you can search a whole publishing house's works, you can look for similar authors, and then you can use that little favorite button for our listeners that may not use this to favorite them to save for later, basically, if you can't check them all out at once. And keep going. So it's a really fun resource to dig into and changing all the time.
Yes. Oh. My tastes are all over the place. So it kind of goes from, fantasy, pulls from mythology, that sort of thing. And then there are sort of the more of the social justice, trying to make people understand what other people are going through type of poetry. So I've got a couple of examples on both sides. One of them's would be like The Lake Michigan Mermaid, which was by Lyndon Emmick Foster and Anne-Marie Ullman. And then with beautiful illustrations by Meredith Riddle. This was a Michigan Notable Book, not this year, but last year. And it's just, it's gorgeous. It's sort of a conversation between a teen who's just sort of trying to find her place And what might be an imaginary person, what might be the legendary mermaid in the lake in Lake Michigan. It's an interesting back and forth between the two. And it's just kind of gorgeous writing, gorgeous combination of the poetry and the visual. It's one of those ones that I kind of have been going back to. And that one's in Overdrive. And sort of bridging the kind of two ideas. I absolutely love the poetry of Pablo Neruda. I was introduced to him actually later through the movie Truly, Madly, Deeply. Because there's a scene in which Alan Rickman and Juliet Stevenson are reading it. reading La Muerta. I wanted to know more about that poem and then just sort of dove in over the next couple of years to his work. And it sort of, you know, it spans, you know, all of my interests. There's the surreal poetry, there's passionate love poems, and then they're very, very overtly political. So there's that full range in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if we still own Pablo Neruda's, there, last time I was looking at some of his work, it was a bilingual book from the Downtown Lansing collection.
I don't think so.
I really liked that one. They were right side by side. It was really good to read in Spanish.
Yes, I love that. And I'm not quite sure what happened to it, but the one that I loved.
I think that can be remedied.
Okay. We can work on that maybe?
Yeah. Thank you, Ms. Cheryl.
What I do know we have is a large collection, and it's in digital and on the shelf at Downtown, and it's called The Poetry of Pablo Neruda. And it's a big compilation of poetry. Covers a number of his books. Because I bought that. I know we have that. I think maybe after I couldn't figure out how to replace the one at the time. A couple other ones that I think people should know about. I think maybe I've mentioned this one here before, but Come See About Me, Marvin, by MSU social justice law professor Brian Gilmore, was a Michigan Notable Book this year. And that one's just interesting because it is so Michigan, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
It is Michigan through the eyes of somebody who's actually was born in Washington, D.C. and is coming to Michigan for his work. And you get his like first impressions of a Michigan winter. and it's just so real. The collection is kind of trying to make sense of the Midwest in a way. And it's imagined dialogue between him and Marvin Gaye.
Okay.
Who also left D.C. to further his career and then went to Chicago and then also to Detroit. So there are things that I totally recognize. There's a poem that literally talks about our issues with open carry at Downtown Lansing. There's things about the, he's worked within the Ingham County court system and there's poems about that. But there's also a poem that like describes a drive that I have had. Like there's a spot on I-96 that ices over kind of anytime there's a storm and it's just nasty. And
is it near the Howell outlets?
No, other direction. It's the one going into Grand Rapids.
Okay.
But yes, that one too.
I have a spot too.
This particular one is the trip to Grand Rapids and it's just before the emergency exit, which is horrible. Because it ices over before the emergency exit, and then you have to get to the emergency exit if there's an actual problem. It was just so real, and so I recognized the places he was talking about and had to laugh at his experiences being the Michigan, you know, being from Michigan and him coming to Michigan and trying to make sense of it.
That is neat.
And then I think the last one I really wanted to talk about was Night Sky with Exit Wounds. By Ocean Vuong. I still haven't read his novel yet. I have it. I at least didn't leave it at work. I have it. I grabbed that one. It was one of the last things I grabbed before we were sent home. But it's this collection, it's his last collection before the novel. And it's just a beautiful, interesting collection. Like the first section is about his family's life in Vietnam, and it includes kind of a point. There's a poem that's about the fall of Saigon called Obeid with Burning City. And it's kind of the people being pulled out, the people being left behind, it all set against A Christmas Carol. And it's just moving and, I mean, mix of horrible and beautiful, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But it just made me want to read all of it. Just made me want to read more of his work. I mean, in it, the third section feels very, very personal. It even includes a poem that kind of, it's the title is Someday I'll Love Ocean Vuong. And it's, they're just more internal dialogues and stories. And it just, I really made me want to read more of his work. So
yeah,
those are the highlights of what I've been doing. There's more, but we don't have to go through all of them.
Yeah.
Well, is there any more poetry that people wanted to talk about?
I could always talk about poetry.
Oh, I know you could. I could too, honestly.
I'm willing to shift it.
All right.
Yeah. I noticed a sort of interesting and also a bit sad theme with three of the books I wanted to talk about today, that they all published on March 10th of this year, which is just an interesting coincidence that three books that I was really excited about. One of them I already talked about, The Death of Sitting Bear, the Mama Day poetry book. But the other two that I'd like to talk about next, both released on that day. And of course, you know, as we know, what that means, and your book releases at this extremely challenging and complicated time globally. So everything, you know, publicity, tours, things were canceled. I'm still seeing as much as probably as possible done in this new digital, you know, environment to promote these books, but just so interesting. I was looking up the dates and I thought one might be the 24th or something like that, but no, all March 10th, all three, just really kind of odd. And of course I'm following all three of them, but the two were the books that I've read most recently. The first, I mentioned it last time because I was excited to get it, and I finally got it as a birthday present, and I read it. It's a Rebecca Solnit's Recollections of My Non-Existence. It was excellent. It was long awaited and it did not disappoint at all. And it's a memoir about Rebecca Solnit's life and about her moving to San Francisco as a very, very young woman, and about her evolution as a writer, how she wanted to become a writer and then how that actually happened. And then she goes through, the memoir is pulled through her books. So each of her books, most of them rather, are touched upon through the memoir. And then the evolution of her ideas, these interactions that she had with various communities. And then there's this really, really lovely thread through the book about the power of story and everything that means, not just the power of story when we think of, you know, fiction, or even the power of story in poetry, but no, the power of people's stories, and especially of people who haven't been able to tell their story, having them have a chance to tell their stories and looking at history through those stories. And then especially, and really not just, but especially women's stories, and having women's stories be heard and believed and everything that that means. So that thread of story, it pulls through beautifully, and her dedication to her career, and really just her as a being, as a teller of stories, and her commitment to continue doing that, even when it's difficult and challenging and that sort of thing. So it was a good read. I wouldn't say it was a light read, but it was a powerful read. And it was perfect for me right now. I was a little concerned when I first picked it up. I wasn't sure, but it was great. And you know what she talks a lot about, and you wouldn't always maybe think of this, is about hope and about how she, in this sort of long arc. Yeah. So this long arc of her career as a writer, that she does see hope, and she talks about, she even has a book about hope and communities and how they pull together in crises, but about how things are areas where we can see hope in different challenges as humans sharing this planet. So So deep, powerful, just fantastic. The other March 10th release that I'm reading, also very powerful, totally different voice and tone, is another memoir, very popular memoir right now, Untamed by Glennon Doyle. And I've read all of her books. I think she's had three. This is her third memoir now. And I followed her since she was a blogger years and years ago. And her books absolutely never disappoint. They're so honest, but they're honest in that way that I think women recognize themselves in her books. It's funny and powerful, poignant. Great storyteller, reads really quickly. So really enjoying that read.
One of the podcasts I've sort of picked up is Brené Brown's new one, Unlocking Us. And Glennon was one of her earliest guests. So that made me want to start back and look at her earlier works and look at Untamed.
Yeah, I do recommend it. And also her, there's her TED Talk that she did a number of years ago. Just fantastic. And just about authenticity. And that's been a process for her. And it's a really empowering for young women too, which talks about her children and empowering them in their own voices, empowering all the members of her family to truly be themselves. Some really good stuff. So I'm really glad that I had that one home. It was actually an ARC. I was lucky to take it home, and that was one of the books I did have at home that I could read. So,
how about you, Maddie? Right.
Well, speaking of ARCs, I have been reading through. It's called Stamped: Racism, Anti-Racism, and You. And this is actually kind of an adaptation for young people by Jason Reynolds. It's based on the work of Ibram X. Kendi. And that title was stamped from the beginning, The Definitive History of Racist Ideas in America. And I think, is it won National Book Award maybe in 2017? I can't quite remember. The original title did.
Yeah, somewhere right in there.
Yeah, and so if anyone has read Jason Reynolds, which I seem to think that maybe many of you out there have, I hope so. He is such a great writer and really presents ideas in just a very accessible format for young people to get at. And the chapters, this particular arc was numbered, but they didn't have the full chapters fully organized yet. But he just writes, about subjects that really get at, what is the history of racism and how did it start? And of course, that's a really complex topic, but he approaches small chapters, talking about various things that relate to the history of the United States. I just got done reading the Complicated Abe chapter, and this is, about Abraham Lincoln, and we think of him as this really, hero of our country, and of course he was in his own right, but, he had his own thought belief system that many would find questionable about, related to how we think about race and who has access to what in our country. So I'm really enjoying reading that and hope that it will, it was released last month, I think, maybe March 19th, I can't quite remember, but we do have copies in our system, both digitally and in print, and I hope you can get a hold of it.
Mm-hmm. Maddie, can I ask, is that a teen or a younger child,
It's a teen. It's what we call YNF or young adult nonfiction. And surprisingly, some of these adaptations of some of the more serious books out there that you end up buying for the adult nonfiction, they do very well with circulation, And just, I find that there's certainly an audience for a lot of these books. And I'm glad that young people and others are approaching the adaptations with great interest as well.
I have had a hard time reading, so there's a lot that I've started but not finished. But one of the things I had read earlier that's kind of, it's finally out and there's going to be physical copies, but there's definitely digital copies available in Overdrive or Libby. And that's This Town Sleeps by Dennis E. Staples. It's this kind of beautiful, gritty, it's got a touch of magic and a bit of mystery. It's Dennis Staples is an Ojibwe author, and he's within the story, he's exploring the way culture, family, and location have shaped the residents of a reservation in northern Minnesota. It's main character Marion finds himself back home in a small town. He's in a relationship with a closeted man. He's also somehow tied to a spirit dog who points him in the direction of a grave of somebody he knew when he was a child. And there's just, there's a bit of a mystery as to why the dog is appearing to him and what he has to do. There's the relationships that are explored, the complexities of the community, but it's just, it's between really neat storytelling, use of flashbacks, and that touch of magic. He just, it's really short, but it's just he packs so much into it. Mm. So it's just one that I think people should check out. We're kind of coming up on our time, but I gotta ask, who's out there baking?
Me.
I made some scones the other day that I was supposed to make like 2 months ago, and what do you call that? Is it the buttermilk? I forget what that special milk is you buy. It was about to expire, so I thought, I better make these. And they didn't turn out too bad, but...
This doesn't sound like a glowing review of your own baking. It was the recipe, right?
Yeah. I wanted to share them with neighbors, but then I thought about social distancing, and they weren't the best, so... But they were good enough for me.
But Cheryl, we were talking about baking as a coping.
Yeah. And I'm seeing a lot of articles about bread baking in particular.
It's yeah. Like,
it's on people's, you know, maybe bucket list or something. I'm going to bake bread. But you know, some people really do have time to bake bread. And there's a practical implication too. If you can bake some bread and space out those grocery visits. So yeah, and I actually found there are several really excellent books on Hoopla on baking. Really good ones. Oh, classic one, Beth Hensberger's Bread Bible, the Zingerman's Bakehouse from Ann Arbor is there. So yeah.
I did not know that was in Hoopla either.
And you know, I've tried that with it. Doesn't work too poorly on my Kindle to sort of freeze the screen and put the Kindle out for baking. It's worked for me before. So I'm thinking, okay, that's another really great use for Hoopla that I probably wouldn't have looked for if it weren't for this particular time. Baking, you know, there's a lot of allergy friendly cookbooks in Hoopla as well, baking gluten-free and for different allergies too. And Jessica, you'd mentioned maybe some baking that you were doing.
So every once in a while I decide, okay, I'll try cookies. And I've stuck with family recipes. So I've done oatmeal chocolate chip, and I've done chocolate chip cookies. But I'm considering branching out and trying something out of the Sister Pie cookbook, which we have, which is a Michigan notable also. And this one's in Overdrive, not in Hoopla. But there are a couple of recipes, and I kind of had marked as in the Zingerman's book too. So I was really happy to find out that was in Hoopla. So I suspect I probably don't have all the ingredients.
Well, hopefully we can all report back on some baking accomplishments.
Yeah, sure.
No pressure.
But. We'll see what happens.
Oh, boy.
Oh, it was so nice to talk to you guys. I'd be looking forward to actually seeing you again.
Almost seems like old times, right?
Yeah, it does.
Can't wait to get back.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.